All righty, let's open with a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word and the privilege and blessing we have to assemble together. Father, we thank you for the grace provision that you've made possible for us to be here this afternoon, for the gracious hospitality of Live Oak Bible Church and allowing us continued use of their new facility. And Father, just for all things, thank you for the construction that took place this past week, a visible reminder of your glorious work, and we thank you for that. Father, we commit to you now our time today for the glory of our Savior, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May all things that are done be done for his glory. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, our speaker today is Mr. Bill Munch, representing the Gideons. And I just want to say just two things real quickly. I love the Gideons, number one. All right. And I always have. When I was in the Army and we shipped out to Desert Storm more than 20 years ago now, every single soldier that got on that plane to go over to Saudi Arabia was handed a Gideon Testament. I'll never forget that. And it's just a real grace provision. Likewise, a couple Fridays ago, I'm over in Huntsville, and as I was going in for my Huntsville prison visit, probably 100, 200, I don't know how many inmates were being released last Friday afternoon, and every single inmate coming out of the Huntsville unit was being handed a Gideon Testament as they were coming out. And appreciate that as well. Second thing I'll say about the Gideons is that I don't know of a ministry that features grace the way the Gideons feature grace. I don't know a ministry that dedicates 100 pennies out of every dollar to their assignment. And that is, when you give to the Gideons $1, $10, $100, whatever you're giving, all of it goes to buy Bibles. Zero. Zero. For administration, their own admin costs. They have admin costs. Of course they have admin. Everybody does. But they handle that themselves. That's a part of their dues. That's a part of their structure as Gideons. So that they do that as their service as unto the Lord. When the contributions come in to buy Bibles, nothing gets skimmed off the top. It all goes to buy Bibles. And I have, in the history of Gideons, more than 100 years now, there's still nothing that matches that on a worldwide basis. And I will always be thankful for the grace approach when it comes to that. All right, well, Mr. Munch, would you please come and bless us today with your report?
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you, brother. Thank you. It's my pleasure and my honor to be here. I would like to say this, that it's because of men like Pastor Bolinder that allows the Gideons to operate. You see, you can't be a Gideon unless you've been recommended by your pastor. So you have to be a member in good standing in a church to be a Gideon. It all starts and stops at the church. And we pray for this church, we pray for your pastor, we pray for all the pastors in Austin. Every Sunday, we have a prayer breakfast. And just want to tell you that we're your missionaries. And you didn't know that you had home missionaries, did you? But we are your missionaries. Because your pastor supports the Gideons, we're able to distribute God's Word around the world to like these children to school right here. And the Gideons organization started about 100 years ago. And many of you who have been in a hotel or a motel probably have seen one of these. And everyone has their own idea of who the Gideons are. But I want to tell you, we have one purpose only. Our mission is to win men, women, boys, and girls to Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Now, distributing Bibles is our method. We believe Isaiah 55:11. We believe that my word shall not return void until it is accomplished what I sent it to do and the manner in which I sent it. And we have scriptures placed in hospitals, convalescent homes, prisons, all around the world, and not only in hotels. And I wanted to share with you a testimony. God allowed me to go to Romania as a Gideon a few years back. And when I went to Romania, we were distributing at the colleges. And we were in, just to let you know, I learned this. There's Budapest and there's Bucharest. Bucharest is in Romania. Budapest is in Hungary. Okay? And if you've ever been there, you'll learn that. But Bucharest is the capital of Romania. And we're at a college, much like these people right here, sowing the word. I had a young girl come up to me. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of foreign students learn English. And so this girl knew English. But the testaments that we were giving out were in Romanian. And she come up to me and she says, what are you doing with these scriptures? I said, we're giving them away. She says, why don't you sell them? You can make a lot of money. We really need these over here. And I said, no. We don't want to sell them. I said, listen, and I was wearing a hat. I have rosacea, so I have to wear a hat to keep sun off my face. Of course, it was a Longhorn hat. And so I told her, I said, no. I said, I've come all the way from Austin, Texas, so that we could give out these scriptures to you. And I said, we want people to come to know Jesus. And she looked at me. She says, well, I'd like to know Jesus. I said, you don't mean. So in the back of every Gideon Testament, there is the plan of salvation in the back of every one. Now, this is in Romanian. Okay, so I'm reading this to her in Romanian. And you got to understand, this is a major university, as big as the University of Texas. And you got students coming and going. But she's not ashamed. She's not embarrassed. We read through the scriptures. She prays to receive Christ. And then, of course, the thing I like about the Gideon Testaments that we give out is they have a place on there for a person to sign acknowledging what they did. And she signed that. And then I gave it to her. And she was a very pretty young lady. And I said, you know, I said, you're a very pretty young lady. I said, but now you're more beautiful inside. And she started crying. And she said, would you please come back? She says, we need these. I said, by the grace of God, I will be back. Okay? So I want to tell you, you were a part of that. This church was a part of that, Pastor. Because this pastor supports the Gideons. And because of people like you who support the Gideons and use the Gideon card program. And I'll tell you about that in a moment. We want to say thank you. Thank you for the contributions. Thank you, Pastor, for the time allowing us to tell people what's going on in the world through the Gideons. And one of the greatest joys I have as a Gideon, besides the fact that I know I'm serving the Lord and I know that I'm a farmer sowing the seed. We believe that this is a seed and this will not come back for you. Anybody here that knows anything about farming, you have to cast a lot of seeds and then you have to trust in the Lord. That He'll bring the rain and He'll bring the sunshine. We trust in the Lord. We know that when we give out these, God's Word will not come back void. We get letters. We get testimonies from all kinds of people about what God has done in their life. And, you know, I love music. And one of the big things about one of my favorite songs, and isn't it interesting? It's the simple things in life that are really profound, Pastor. God's gospel is so simple. And the people try to overcomplicate it. Sophisticated and erudite minds try to confound the truth. But one of the most beautiful songs is Jesus Loves Me. And if you ever stopped and thought about that song, I want you to share this with you for a moment. This is a testimony about what God does through students and through the Gideon ministry. And if you'll bear with me here, I'm going to get this off and get this on. And then I hope we have some volume. I hope I have enough volume here because I don't know if my volume is going to go through your... Hope I've got enough volume for you to hear this. Okay. Let's try it this way. Let's hope. I'm hoping this works. Well, I may need some technical assistance here. To get this started, I practiced this two or three times this week, and it played every time I hit it. Not today, but let's see. We'll try one more time. I can tell you a little bit more about the Gideons. Well, let's see if it's going to play. Don't know why it doesn't want to work. Let's go back to the first. I'll tell you a little bit more about the Gideons. All of the Gideon members are volunteers. And as Pastor said, we support our own way. When I went to Romania, paid my own way. All the Gideons that do go over overseas trips pay their own way. All the administrative costs are paid by membership dues and by the Gideons. And we do not use any money from contributions for any administrative costs. And somebody pray for me, would you? We need a... I don't know why this thing does not want to play. But... it's just not wanting to play today. I apologize. Yeah, put it in. See, put it in his and see if it'll play on his. Okay, I apologize. The first frame. My wife is an auxiliary, and the auxiliary are the wives of the Gideons, and the purpose of the auxiliary is to support the Gideons through prayer. We believe not only to believe in God's Word, we believe in that prayer is the whole power behind this ministry. And that's why, even if you're not able to give anything to the Gideons, when the next time you pray, if you would remember the Gideons, pray for the Gideons. Because it's through prayer that we are able to get into countries that nobody else can get into. We can actually get into Muslim schools and distribute the Scripture. You know why? Because a Muslim believes that Jesus is a prophet. So when we tell them we got a book about Jesus, they let us come in. Can you imagine that? God allows the Gideons to go into places where missionaries can't go, where our government can't go. We're able to go into Muslim countries and distribute the Word. And I want to share another testimony with you. Pastor said he was in the Army, and we do make sure that every troop that goes overseas gets a testament, gets a New Testament. And I want to share a story with you about we had a convention in Louisville, Kentucky a few years back, and we had a major who was in the U.S. Marine Corps. And his duty in the Marine Corps is chaplain. And he was invited to the Gideon Convention because he had written a letter to the Gideons about a Gideon Testament. And it seems that many times he would get on the choppers when they go out to bring back in the wounded and some of those who did not come back alive. And he had the duty to go out and pick up this one young man who... did not make it, and they could not identify him because of the injuries. So it was a chaplain's responsibility to try to identify this young man so he could notify the family. And in his fatigues, they found a camouflage Gideon Testament, and they looked in the back, and he had signed his name. They were able to identify him for from the Gideon Testament that he had on his person. And sad to say, he died in battle. But when that major said that when they notified his mother that he had been killed in action, and they gave her his belongings, and they gave her this Gideon Testament, and she looked in the back and showed here that John so-and-so accepted Jesus Christ on such and such a date, she said that meant more to her than anything else. To know, she said she'd been praying for him for years. To know that he had come to know the Lord before he died, she said that meant more to her than anything. You can't put a price on that. And we get stories all the time from people about how a Gideon Testament has changed their lives and has touched them. You're a part of that. You're a part of that. If you pray for the Gideons and Pastor Bolinder, you're a part of that. We're your missionaries. And, Paul went back to Jerusalem to tell them all that he had done and to take an offering back. And so that's the reason that we go around and talk to churches. We're following Scripture, Acts 15:4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received to the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. And so I'm here today to tell you all the things that God is doing through the Gideons, and you're part of that. And the Gideons number over 230,000, 240,000, and over 145,000 auxiliary worldwide. We're in 180 countries. And we print the Bible in over 83 different languages. And this is a 24-hour ministry. Somewhere in the world, right now, and this, before I finish this sentence, someone has been given a Gideon Testament. It's a 24-hour ministry. Every minute, someone gets a Bible. Over 1 billion have been distributed. And you're part of that. And I was really hoping I could share that CD with you. That thing has played. Oh, you got it. Listen to this. You know the song, Jesus Loves Me? Listen to this. This is powerful, I think.
The drugs had totally devastated our lives, and her life was so out of control that she could no longer work. Amy's soul was in constant turmoil, and as a mother, I just wanted to fix it and make it all better, but it was beyond the power that I had. We had committed her to a hospital, and when I went to visit her, she told me, "Look what someone brought me last night." And it was a Gideon Bible. I don't really know what scripture it was that touched her heart. I just know that the girl that went into the hospital was not the girl that came out. She was just so fresh and new again. Her mind was totally clear. Shortly thereafter, almost 1 year to the day, she was in an automobile accident, and the Lord decided to call her home. I would love to see her raise a family, and I would love to see her what she would have been in life. But I had my promise for her in eternity because someone cared.
I went to a motel on Christmas Eve. I intended to end my life. I lived most of my life out of control. I had used drugs and alcohol. I was put out of my home. My wife told me to leave. And as I'm sitting in that room, I noticed the book lying on top of the TV. And I looked down and I saw that it was a Gideon Bible. And I thought, who needs that? And I took my hand and I swiped it off on the floor. Well, it fell at my feet, but it fell open. What I read changed my life. It said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Today, I'm a pastor. My family's been restored. My wife has forgiven me. We work together in ministry. All of this because of one Bible in one room and one night. Thank God for the Gideons, and thank God for the Bibles that they put in the motel rooms.
You know, that there alone makes it all worthwhile. We go to schools here in Austin. We go to the high schools and middle schools, and we stand on the sidewalk and give out these testaments. And you know, Pastor, whenever you're doing something for the Lord, the old devil is always going to stick up his head and try to interfere. And you'd be amazed at how many of these principals try to run us off the sidewalk because we're giving out testaments to the children. And I know where it's coming from. It's not because of that principal. It's the devil, you know, and their ignorance of the law or of God's scripture. But one of the greatest joys is to see a child like that take a Gideon testament. And, you know, I would love to be a fly on a wall and follow one of those testaments and just see the impact it has on one person's life. There was a young lady. We go to the University of Texas every year. Gave out over 7,000 scriptures to the freshmen coming in at UT last year. We go every year. You're part of that, Pastor. There's students that have... Lives have been changed because of this church. One young lady, and of course, you know, we have some good stories and we have some bad stories. You know, I'd like to tell you that every student that takes one of these, reads it and gets saved, that doesn't happen. Some of them get it and look at it and chunk it. Okay? There was one chunked in an open window. It was in the summer. You know, it's in July when we go to UT. Okay, so it's hot. And God is just trying to test us to see how devoted we are. I'm telling you, it's hot out there. But there was this one young lady that came that she's a student, and she was having a bad day. Her boyfriend broke up with her. She wasn't passing her classes. She just felt like, you know, she's in the toilet. She was just frustrated and ready to give it all up. And she gets in her car and she sits down and she's crying. She puts her hand down in the passenger seat and she puts her hand on a Gideon testament that somebody had chunked in her window. The reason we know this is because she wrote us a letter. She says, "I don't know how that got there." She says, "I don't know how y'all knew I needed it." She says, "But you saved my life." And you know, stuff like that. Stuff like this pastor here. You know, you can't write stuff like that. Only God could do that. And you know, the one thing that I think, Pastor, that separates the Gideon ministry from all other ministries that are around. And there's one thing about it. You can't. I can just tell you this right now, Pastor. You're not eligible to be a Gideon because no one in the ministry can be in the Gideons. Because not because they're not qualified, but because we feel like that they're overqualified. We have a great reverence for the pastors and the spiritual leaders, and we believe that that's a higher calling. But we do believe the Gideons is a calling, and I just wanted to, you know, tell you that we have a great respect for the pastors, and that. We support the church, and we don't compete with the church. But there's one thing about the Gideon ministry. It's even, we go places where missionaries can't go. We can get into places, like I said, Muslim schools. You would not believe it. You know, we have more access to Muslim schools than we do to public schools here. Isn't that a crying shame? In Romania, I was able to go desk to desk, Pastor, and give a scripture to those children. And in the United States, we can't. They want to run us off the sidewalk. So we need to pray about that. But the unique thing about the Gideon ministry is this, is that we distribute God's word in the traffic lanes of life. We meet people who will never darken the church door until they get God's word and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them. We minister to those people who might not ever consider coming to church until they get a copy of God's word in their hand. And we do believe that God's Word is living and active. And I do believe you get someone in God's Word, God's going to get in them. And they're going to change. And we believe that. And we get letters after letters and testimonies after testimonies from people whose lives have been changed by one Gideon testament. I want to share another. One of my favorite ones is this. I have 6 grandchildren. I know you don't think I look old enough to be a grandfather. My wife is my hairdresser. But this one grandfather, he was a widower. He was having to live with his son because, you know, he just couldn't take care of himself. So he's living with his son, and he had a grandson. And his son and his wife and the grandson went to church, much like your church, Pastor. They, you know, they went to a Bible church, they believed. But The grandfather was bitter because God took his wife. And he didn't want to hear about church. Didn't want them to talk to him about God. Didn't want anybody preaching to him. And the little boy rode the bus, city bus, to and from school. And one day the Gideons were at the school giving out testaments to the children. And the grandson got one. And when he got on the bus, grandson, very mature for his age, thinking, you know what? I know the Lord. I got a Bible. I'm going to leave this here on this bus. Maybe somebody that doesn't have a Bible will get it. So the grandson feels good about what he's done. He goes home. He can't wait to tell his daddy and his mama about what he did today. Mom and Dad, I'm going to tell you what I did today. And before his dad gets home, his mom gets home, in comes Grandpa. He says, hey, Gramps. He says, how you doing? He says, son, I'm doing great. He says, really? He says, yeah, son. He says, I got to tell you what happened today, and I want you to be the first to know. He says, what's that, Gramps? He says, you know, I was riding the bus home today, and I sat down on a Bible. And he said, I picked it up, and I started reading it. He says, son, I want you to know I got saved. You can't write a script like that. His own grandson left the Bible on the bus that he found, and he got saved. Nobody preached to him. Nobody talked to him. That's a God thing. That was a divine appointment. God arranged that, and he used the grandson to do it. Isn't that awesome? Pastor, Hollywood can't write stories better than that. You know? And so, you know, like Paul, if I have any pride, it's in Christ, you know? But it's things like that that make you proud to be a Gideon. And it gives me great joy in going around telling people that you're a part of that. You may not know this family, but you're a part of that. This church is a part of that, Pastor. You're part of changing lives, touching lives outside the walls of this church. And who knows? You may have someone come to your church someday who just blesses everybody, and you, if you were to find out, they may have been saved by a Gideon Bible. Who knows? We're not taking credit for all the salvations, but we got a few out there, okay? But the reason that we do go around and tell people about all these things is because we do not like publicity. See, you'll never see anything in the paper about the Gideons. God forbid. We stay under the radar. We don't want the ACLU or the politically correct press putting us on the pages so somebody can bash us or destroy us. You know, because we know that we have a big enough battle against Satan already. So you never hear about these things in the press or the papers. So that's why we go around and tell you what's going on and what's happening. And one of the reasons we go around and talk to everyone is we want to let you know how not you can help. And the most important thing you can do is next time you pray for the Gideons. Remember us. I like to tell everybody about prayer. You know, we see on a lot of the corners, we see beggars. You see people asking for handouts. I say the next time you see a homeless person asking for a handout, Bill Munch, he's a beggar for prayer. I'm a beggar for prayer. I don't mind begging people, pray for me, because I believe in prayer. And I believe that it's the prayers of the saints and it's the prayers of the pastors, supports the pastors and of the Gideons that has allowed this ministry to thrive and be successful as it has. And it, as long as you're praying for us, we'll survive. Whether or not you ever give us any money, we'll take the money because we want to buy Bibles. But whether you give us any money or not, God's going to supply our needs. But I want to give you something that you can do, and you may have already done it. Give a card, change a life. We have cards, and you have a rack out here now. And there's not one person here today that was not saved until at least first someone prayed. You stop and think about it. There may be someone that prayed you into heaven. There may be someone here today that you know was the reason that you got saved. Why don't you send them a beautiful tulip and say, thanking of you. Just want to tell you, thank you for praying for me. I love the Lord and I love you. Thank you for what you did in my life. Do you know that these cards don't cost any more than Hallmark cards? But let me tell you the difference between this card and the Hallmark card. When you buy one of these cards, the sender of this card made a donation to the Gideons International. This gift will help provide Bibles and New Testaments around the world. Please read the testimony on the back of this card to see how lives are changed after receiving God's Word. We got a testimony on the back of every card. It's a double blessing. They get a love gift from you, and they get a story that could touch their life. And you bought a Bible, because the money that you spend for these buys Bibles. And these are out there in the rack back there. Someone dies, we have an in-memory card. Someone graduates or does some kind of accomplishment. Maybe somebody in here wins a gold medal at the Olympics. In recognition, we have all different types of cards. And each one of you will get one of these packets when you leave today. It won't cost you anything. But there's an envelope. And you can make a contribution. You can buy one Bible, Pastor, for $5, or if you want to buy more. But just remember this. We know for a fact, every one of these Bibles that's distributed will touch 2,300 lives. Every scripture will touch 2,300 lives some way. We're talking about from these hotels. Okay, and I can tell you, I've been in all kinds of churches. I've been in some churches where I had a little old lady come up to me, and she had one of these under her arm, and she had $5 in her hand. She says, "Listen, this has been bothering me for a long, long time." She says, "I just wanted to pay you for this Bible." And you know what I told her? I said, "You don't owe me nothing." I said, "You know what? Those are for the taking." So if you're ever in a hotel and you need a Bible, you can take it. We'll replace it, okay? So that's one thing you can take out of a hotel room. Don't take the towels or the pillows, but you can take the Bibles, okay? We don't care if you take the Bibles, we'll replace them. But I just thought I'd share that with you. You know, she said her conscience had been bothering her for a long, long time, and she said, "Since you're here, I want you to take this money for the Bible." But so you can pray for us. And kids, listen, I don't know. I don't even know, do kids get allowances anymore? I don't know. You know, when my kids were growing up, I gave them allowances. And of course, I'm old-fashioned. They had to work for it. I don't know how they do it today. And the kids are today have cell phones and all kinds of PlayStation. So I don't know kids today. But I just want to let you kids know, if one of you children are listening to me, you could touch another child in Africa or Romania or Russia or South America, Brazil, one of those countries. Do you know these little testaments only cost $1.30? I've had children come up to me after I've delivered a message and give me $1.30 and said, "Mister, would you send a Bible to Africa for me?" Yeah, that'll touch your heart. You see, it's not about the money. You know who the greatest giver in the Bible was? The widow. Two mites. And it wasn't the magnitude of what she gave. It was all she had. She gave everything she had. So, you know, it's not the amount you give, it's the fact that you give. And pray for us. And use these cards if you get an opportunity. And I don't know, Pastor, I'm a great respecter of time, you know. And so I don't want to abuse the time that I have. But I wanted to share one scripture with you that because, you know, see, I go to a lot of churches, and even in the church, I see a lot of sad people, you know, a lot of hurting people. And I just want you to know, you know, my favorite song, "Jesus Loves Me." He does love you. How do you know He loves you? The Bible tells me so. Such a simple message. Such a simple message. How do people know we as Christians care about them? How do they know we love them? If we give them a testament, it says right here in the back of the Gideon Testament, John 3:16, God loves you. For God so loved the world. And then it says, it's honest, it says, Romans 3:23, we're all sinners. And then there's a remedy for God's sin. This is one of the greatest things about the Gideon Testaments is the plan. You know, every time we give out one of these, you have an opportunity for someone to come to know the Lord. Okay? So, remember Psalms 51:12-13. Psalms 51:12-13 says, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and then sinners will be converted to thee." You know the reason that more people don't seek Jesus? Because they don't see Jesus in us. You know, they don't see the joy of our salvation. And so I just want to challenge you. I want to share another scripture with you that about your pastor. And I don't know if you ever noticed this about your pastor before, but you do it. You look at it when you leave today, and you'll see what I'm saying. It says, "How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel." You got some good-looking feet there, Pastor Boland. So, a compliment to your pastor. Say, "Pastor, you got some good-looking feet." We love this guy. We love pastors. We pray for the pastors. We support the pastors. We love your church. We pray for the church. We're your missionaries. So, we ask, pray for us. And the next time, instead of buying a Hallmark card, use one of those cards. Reach out and touch somebody that you know there's somebody you need today. There's somebody you need to communicate today that you love them and you want to thank them. And this is the opportunity. This is the Holy Spirit talking to you, not Bill Munch, not the Gideons. The Holy Spirit is talking to you today. You know, tell somebody you love them and pray for us. And you know, there might be somebody in here that might just be Gideon material, Pastor. There may be somebody in here saying, Pastor Bolinder, I would like to do that. I would like to be a Gideon, you know. And, you know, I tell people that become Gideons, if the only thing I could do was give out these testaments, I'd become a Gideon. You can't give out these Gideon testaments unless you are a Gideon. So that's a good reason to be a Gideon. But I'm going to tell you what, I carry these with me everywhere I go. And you know what? You don't have to change your lifestyle to be a Gideon, Pastor Bolinder, because it's in the traffic lanes of life. It's doing life that we do this ministry. Most of us may eat out once a week, twice a week, at least once a month. So every restaurant now, when you go to a restaurant, the waiter's got a name tag. Or when you get your check, their name's on the check. I pull out the Gideon Testament. Guess what? There's a place in front for their name. I write their name down. I put the date. And this will teach you, you can't be a chinchy tipper. I tell people, don't you dare short a waiter on their tip and you give them one of these. You keep this in your pocket if you're not going to tip them right. So this has taught me to be a good tipper. So I tell the folks, I said, Bob, I got two tips for you today. Whoa, good. So you better make sure that first tip you show them is good. They say, oh, okay, then I got another tip for you. And then in the front of each one of these little testaments are some helps. Well, if you're having a problem, you can go to a certain page and they'll tell you. I show them the helps, and then I said, when you get a break, read the back. And then, you know, Pastor, I've never had anybody give this back to me. They all take them. I'd like to be a fly on the wall. I'd love to be able to see the life of one of these testaments, Pastor, what it does. I can't do that because you know why? God doesn't want me to get a big head. But you know what? We get letters. We get letters from people whose lives have been touched and changed by the Gideons. You're part of that. Your church did that. You were there when that soldier died in Iraq. You were there when that young girl got that Bible in that drug rehab. You were there when that girl got that testament in the front seat of her car. You were there with us when we were at the University of Texas and we were on the sidewalks. Pray for us. And remember, I'm a beggar for prayer. And if God has blessed you enough where you can contribute, buy a card. Send it to somebody. He's sitting here, but, you know, hey, wouldn't be a bad idea to send a card to your pastor thanking him. God bless the pastors. God bless them. We love you, brother. And I apologize for the few technical difficulties. And, Pastor, I've taken 40 minutes of your time, so I'm going to give some time back to you. And I thank you for the time you've given us. And thank you all for your listening. Y'all good listeners. And God bless you. And God bless your church. We'll be praying for you. Okay? Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
And thank you, Mr. Munch. Appreciate that very much. This is a real delight and a real blessing. And as he mentioned, if you've been giving that some thought, considering being a Gideon at any point of time, then come talk to me. Talk to them. Talk to me. Jerry and LaVonna McFerrin can explain how they've been blessed to be a part of this ministry. Jesse and Marcia Padilla as well. Just a real blessing. Like I say, we've partnered with the Gideons longer than I've been pastor here, going back to Ralph Braun's days, and I think in the early time, a fellow named Mark Beyer used to come by here and be a part of this this ministry back when, I've been 15 years, Ralph was 14 years, and I think it was in the first couple of years of Ralph getting here, in about 81 or 82 or thereabouts, is when he became a friend with Mark Beyer there, so. Anyway, it's a long time to be affiliated with the Gideons, but it's an honor, it's a privilege, it's a blessing. We're going to keep our associations going. When we relocate over to the new place, we'll be sure to tell them where we are and how to find us, and we're going to continue to participate in these things as well. Let me close with a word of prayer, and we'll have a little extra on our fellowship time, give you the opportunity to talk to these men and be blessed by that fellowship. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we do come before you just rejoicing in how faithful you are and thankful, Father, as the Scriptures go forth, that they will not return void. Father, I thank you that you are very pleased and delighted through a variety of methods to bring about the important ministry that we have to proclaim Christ to this lost and dying world. Father, we just commit to you now our time of fellowship and conversation as we fellowship over the ministry here. And I do pray, Father, if there's anyone that's considering this as their own ministry, that they might be convicted by you, that this is what you would have for them to do. Likewise, Father, I pray if there's anyone sitting here today that has heard these things and has never really understood what eternal life was all about, Father, maybe today is the day that they will recognize that the wages of sin is death and that they are on the road to the lake of fire. Father, I pray that this might be the day that they might understand that they don't have to face that condemnation. Jesus Christ bore it all. And Father, I pray that we might be able to explain to anyone that might ask that the penalty has been paid, and by faith in Christ, the eternal life can be their abiding blessing. Father, we just commit all things to you now in his most gracious and holy name. Amen. All right, God bless you. We appreciate everything. Let's take our fellowship time and come back at 4:15.